want to share a couple of things before we get started. I will not be using the term heifer at any point in this sermon. My daughter and I weren't quite sure if we took a little offense at that. But you know, we won't be bitter. And the other thing is, I am not a pastor. For those of you who are unaware, I am a helpmate. So I am not assuming the role of the pastor or reverend. Yes, the kids can go, I'm sorry. See, I'm not a pastor. Forgot all about it. I'm not trying to assume the role of that in a way where I am elevating myself up to that position. I am not a pastor. So I just wanted you all to know I am a helpmate. I help Wayne out every so often. I think any couple, any husband and wife, they do that same thing for each other. If one is sick, the other steps up to help. And I think that is a common thing, and that is what's going on today. All right. Yeah, thank you. I do try. We had a lot of fun last week. For those of you who weren't here, Wayne shared a lot of things that were a lot of fun. We're still stinging, some of us are, just a little bit, but I'm probably not as fun, with this sermon, because it's going to sting, I think, a little bit for everyone. So actually, before I even read the scripture, I think we're going to go to prayer. So will you pray with me, please? Father God, we come to your throne of grace, and we just pray for the infilling of your Holy Spirit to rest upon us during this time where we delve into your word. Father, you have said that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so as we look at your word, keep us mindful of the fact that even though things may have been said in the Old Testament, they are relevant for today. That the warnings that you had for us in the Old Testament are relevant for today. That every word that you have put in the Bible, in your word, is relevant for us today. I pray, Father, that you would hide me behind the cross of Calvary, that people will not hear Mary, but they will hear your words, that you would keep me from interjecting anything that is not pleasing to you. Father, we pray that you would bless and anoint this time that we share in studying your word, and all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, we are going to turn to Amos 4, verse 6 through 12. Now, Amos is not one that you pull out too often. I mean, everybody knows Matthew, Mark, Luke, or Genesis, or all the Revelation, and all the more common books. But Amos is not one that people turn to all that often, and it is a rich book. It has a lot to say. Amos was actually written by the prophet Amos, and his name, I'm reading this from the very front of my book section, and his name means burden or burden bearer. He was a shepherd called by God to be a prophet in the northern cities of Israel during a time of riches and wealth for the northern kingdom. He announced God's judgment on the people for turning away from God, for being cruel to the poor, and for living selfishly. And then it goes on to talk about the visions that he had. So if you are with me, Amos 4, verse 6, if you would give me an amen. Thank you. Amos 4, verses 6 through 12. I gave you empty stomachs in every city, a lack of bread in every town. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I also withheld rain from you when the harvest was still 3 months away. I sent rain on one town, but withheld it from another. One field had rain, another had none, and dried up. People staggered from town to town for water, but did not get enough to drink. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Many times I struck your gardens and vineyards. I struck them with blight and mildew. Locusts devoured your fig and olive trees, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. One more. I sent plagues among you as I did to Egypt. I killed your young men with the sword, along with your captured horses. I filled your nostrils with the stench of your camps, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I overthrew some of you as I overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. You were like a burning stick snatched from the fire, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what I will do to you, Israel. And because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. And I'm going to quit there. The prophet Amos lived in a time of great material prosperity, much like today. There's a lot of material prosperity going on today. This book was written in a post-war time, and the people thought that God was pleased with them by giving them the victory. They thought everything was exactly as it should be, and back then there were primarily only two classes. It's kind of dwindling today again, but at least we still have the three classes. But back then there was the very rich and the very poor. The very rich enjoyed great luxury and indulged in all the pleasures money could provide. The poor were continually oppressed, and injustice was practiced in the courts. Wow, is this thing paralleling at all? You seeing this? True religion, and in this case was their belief in Jehovah, had been compromised to the extent that it was a mere form of religion. The religion of the people produced no moral effects in their lives. The nation depended on their financial and military might for existence among the nations of the earth. It seemed that all was right with the world, and then comes Amos. This prophet of God was able to see the signs of decay. He saw evidence of poison in the bloodstream and inevitable calamities ahead for these people who absolutely were unable to read the signs of the times. I want to look a little more closely at Amos today. I feel that the parallels between Israel during that time and the world that we're living in right now are staggering. The love of most has run cold. I want you to explore this with me. My first point, the discipline was unrecognized and unheeded. Amos 4, verse 6 says, I gave you empty stomachs. The Hebrews say that was actually cleanness of teeth. They had nothing to eat, so their teeth were clean. In every city, there was a lack of bread and no food. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Now that's something else I want you to watch as we go through this. It continually says, declares the Lord. This isn't Amos saying, thus says Amos. This is declares the Lord. And it is repeated over and over and over. And as Pastor Wayne has said many times before, if you have something in the Word that repeats itself, you need to pay attention to it. God's making a point. It's his exclamation point. These things are happening, declares the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but no food would tend to get my attention. Fasting is hard. How many of you have ever fasted? Oh, quite a few. It's hard. And if you don't have the scripture and the word and prayer to sustain you, oftentimes you don't make it through a fast. True? Well, most people in this country, when the people in this country are without food, where do they go? Any ideas? Food pantry. That's right. They go to the government. They go to programs and local agencies. How often do you hear of someone who is that is coming to church to look for food or coming to Christ to look for food? You don't hear it very often, do you? They go and get food from a local food pantry. Now, I have people that have come to the church looking for something, but it's not food. It's a handout. And those things, those people are weighed. I mean, it's not like we turn everybody away from the door and say, no, you cannot have it. But you have to be very careful because there are so many people in this day and age that are coming to churches with phony reasons for wanting money that the churches in the area have to be very careful because you don't hand out money. At this church, we don't keep cash around to hand out to anyone. We get them the help they need. But that is what most people are doing. They are not looking for Jesus. They look to the government for their help. Next point. God withheld the rains. Amos 4, verses 7 through 8. I also withheld rain from you when the harvest was still 3 months away. I sent rain to one town, but withheld it from another. One field had rain, another had none and dried up. People staggered from town to town for water, but did not get enough to drink. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. It's hard to go hungry, but going thirsty and having no crops. These people, they just didn't get it. They simply thought they had a drought. In the U.S., what do we think when it dries up in one area? They've got a drought. They've got a drought. That's just how nature works. Sometimes things like that just happen. It's not always just nature. Third point. God sent agricultural failure. And Amos 4, verse 9 says, many times I struck your gardens and vineyards. I struck them with blight and mildew. Locusts devoured your fig and olive trees. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. The people thought that the season produced an unreasonable amount of insects, an unreasonable amount of blight. They were finding logical excuses for what was going on. What do we do today? Never do you hear people, you know, they'll interview farmers or people on TV and you'll hear them say, yeah, it's really been rough. This is. Never do you hear them say, you know what? I think God's trying to get my attention. When things happen in your life, outside of, you know, famine things, anything, do you ever stop and say, you know, I wonder if God's trying to get my attention? We don't want to think that we would be under, I don't even want to call it judgment, correction. People don't want to think that they're ever going to be under God's correction, but it happens. Next point, God tried to correct his nation with war. Amos 4, verse 10 through 11 said, I sent plagues among you as I did to Egypt. I killed your young men with the sword, along with your captured horses. I filled your nostrils with the stench of your camps. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I overthrew some of you as I overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. You were like a burning stick snatched from the fire. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. The people were so dull that they didn't even recognize that God was trying to tell them something. Now, We can call it dull. We can call it ignorant. We can call it evil. Because when evil comes on you, you don't see what God is doing. They, once again, were looking to the logic of man to explain what was happening in their lives. They did not want to inner reflect. They did not want to self-reflect. What are we doing? What is our country doing? Let's fast forward to today. Are people any different today than they were back then? Do we take to heart what the Lord is trying to tell us today? When the study of history tells us that those who try to replace God and ignore the laws of justice and mercy are eventually destroyed. The Bible declares that history verifies the truth that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. That's Psalm 9, verse 17. That's not Mary making it up. Nations that turn away from God end up in destruction. And we're watching things happen in our world, in our country, in our communities that are proving that God is still trying to correct us. People, our nations, either need to change or they will experience the radical justice of God. That's not a fun statement for me to say. We are watching some of the worst natural disasters hit this country in decades. When I saw the pictures from North Carolina and Hurricane Helene, it blew me away. The waters rushing down the mountains, the amount of flooding, people still missing. It's heart-wrenching. We can't even fathom it. What it would be like. I don't know if anyone here has ever gone through a flood where you've lost absolutely everything. Your home and everything's floating down the river or down the water. It's just inconceivable to me. But we have gone from the terrible flooding from Hurricane Helene, and now we are watching the terrible fires in California. My heart aches for those people. But we would be foolish if we as Christians didn't look to God and say, "You've got our attention. What do you want us to do? What are you trying to teach us, Lord?" There is a spirit in this country of lukewarmness and complacency. And don't go out and say, "Mary said God sent that fire to California to teach us all a lesson." Don't do that to me. But we need to face some facts here, people. There is a correction that God sends to each and every one of us. And I'm not looking even as a big city, town, whatever. I'm talking personally. We get corrections and we don't listen. And I'm speaking from my own personal. There's times God has tried to correct me on something, and I don't want to say I poo-poo it off, but I don't always, he doesn't always get my attention. But when God keeps saying, "I did these things, I tried to correct you, I made it abundantly clear, and you still wouldn't come back to me." The people in this country are not going back to God. We are praying for a great harvest. Do you know why we're praying for a great harvest? Because there's very, very few people that are actually born again that are going to heaven. We have got to have a harvest. We've got scads and scads of people across this country, in our communities, in our towns, that are going to hell, people. Does he have our attention? Are we getting it? We're watching what correction can look like. Are we lukewarm? I am seeing so many signs that he's trying to tell us. Now, I was thrilled with the outcome of the election, and I make no apology for that. I believe the best man got in. But I also feel that there is so much sin present in this country, in these states, in our communities, and even in our churches, that if we are honest with ourselves, we will see that the correction of God has to fall in order to bring change. Not only in the lives of unbelievers, but in us as well as believers. I look around and I am blown away by the blatant sin that's even in the church. I see our children being inundated with sin. We have seen a rise in the amount of profanity on television, on radios, in the public square. You know, when I was young, and yeah, it was back in black and white, so get over it. But back when I was younger, on television, the rest of you, some of you will attest to this. When there was a television show on or a movie that had bad language, what did they do? They deleted the words, you bet. Of course, as a snotty young kid, I was trying to read what they were saying. But I never learned to lip read, sorry. But they cleaned it up. They don't clean it up anymore. They do not. Anything flies. And you know, it used to be prime time for us. There was a certain time at night when you could watch television with your family. It was fairly clean. You could enjoy a nice night. Oh my, I saw things I'm not even going to repeat. On prime time on a channel. I'm running out of channels. You know, we pay for hundreds of channels, and I'm getting whittled down to TBN, to a Christian channel, or news. And even the news anymore, I'm seeing some stuff on there. But the amount of sin, the amount of bad language, the amount of sexual perversion, all these things culminate. They're infiltrating us, people. They're infiltrating our homes. They're infiltrating our hearts. There is a spirit about that that is coming out of that box, coming out of our phones, coming out of the radio. It's a spirit that's trying to get into our soul. And in many cases, it has. You do realize that that language, that sexual perversion, all those things are an offense to God. My mother used to have a saying for us growing up, would you say that if God was sitting here? Oh, probably not, but praise God, I blocked that out of my head. But would we? Would we speak the way we speak? Would we act the way we act? Would we watch what we watch if Jesus Christ was sitting next to us? It's a sobering thought. It is offensive to God. It's shameful. And we as Christians, if we don't stand up for what's right and say, God, you have my attention. God, you know, I'm turning back to you, even as a Christian. I am turning back to you. I am going to repent of these things that I'm watching. I'm speaking. There's power in your words too, folks. I know that sometimes we can say things and think, oh, it's no big deal. But there is power in your words. Be careful what you speak. We need to clean up our act as a nation, as states, as communities, and as Christians. We have to pray for that great harvest to come, and that it'll start in our own homes and in our own lives first. When God says, declares the Lord. Pay attention. I think the time on this earth is very short. Now, some of you will say, I've been saying that for years and years and years and years. You know, Lord hasn't come back. Well, okay, they said that years and years and years ago. How much closer are we? You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the things going on are what's spoken of in the Word of God. I have a great burden for the people in this church and in my community, in my family, in my state, and in my country. A tremendous burden. In Hebrews 12, verses 10 and 11, it says, our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. People, if you see something in your life, and we all have things in our lives, repent. Without repentance, there is no forgiveness. And we sin continually. When you know you've done something, repent. Ask for that forgiveness. It's got to be the simplest thing you can do in the whole world, is to take a moment, go to your God and say, Lord, I am sorry for that. Forgive me. Turn me around. Help me to live a more righteous and holy life. Watch my mouth. And I'm guilty of that, people. I'm one that fast things come into my head and it comes out of my mouth before it goes through my brain. And that's when my mother would say, Mary Beth, what are you doing? But I had to repent. I don't stand here like somebody who's never had to repent. I have to repent all the time. But you do too. Be holy, for I am holy. That's what God says. Be holy, for I am holy. We have a world that is going to hell. We have things happening, and God's saying, "Am I getting your attention now? Do you know what I'm trying to say?" Declares the Lord. Don't let us be the ones that he is talking about when he says, yet you have not come back to me. Let's come back to him. Let's pray. Father, we lift up our country to you. She is hurting right now. May we be your watchmen that sound the alarm that your correction is real and that you still do correct your people. May we stop being complacent to the sins around us and in us. May righteousness grow in us. May our eyes be opened to what you would have us to do. May we be led by your Spirit. And may we be holy as you are holy, Lord. We pray that you would lead us in all truth. And we ask it all in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.